Hey, this is Pastor Andy. Thanks for listening. Unfortunately, today at church, I forgot to record my sermon. And so I am in my professional home studio right now, recording this sermon just for you so that you can listen and be edified. And for those of you who are in home group, so that you can prepare for home group. The title of this sermon is How to Avoid Backsliding. This is part three of three. This is kind of a short sermon series based on Jesus' parable in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20, the parable of the farmer scattering seed. We've been talking about backsliding the past few weeks. Backsliding, if you remember, means to lapse morally or spiritually, to revert to a worse condition. To lapse morally or spiritually, to revert to a worse condition. Over the years, I've seen many people backslide. I've seen many people get very enthusiastic and excited about church, only to drop out of church, and not just drop out of church and go to another church, but just drop out of church and become spiritually disengaged, to stop really seeking and serving the Lord. Do they still believe? Probably so. You know, they would say, yeah, I still believe. But if you really probed into their life, you would find that they're not where they were spiritually. I've seen that happen to many people. And this is a big problem among adults, but it's a serious problem, a very alarming problem for parents, because the statistics show that over 60% of kids who grow up in church will become spiritually disengaged by the end of their first year in college, which means they won't go to church, they'll stop reading their Bible, stop praying, over 60%. And that's on the conservative side of the numbers. Some numbers are as high as 88%. Almost 9 out of 10 kids who grow up in church end up dropping out, end up backsliding. So how can we make sure that we don't backslide and that our kids don't backslide? Listen, my prayer is to be, and my desire is to be here preaching, teaching, serving the Lord at Church Acadiana, in my community, being a faithful husband, a faithful father, loving Jesus with all my heart, for the next 5, 10 years, 20 years, to still be here, to stand firm, to persevere, to endure, to still be at it. And that's what I want for you. I want you to still be in church 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now. I want you to still be serving the Lord. I don't want you to fall away. I don't want you to become a statistic. Our kids, parents, you can agree with me. We don't want our kids dropping out of church. We don't want our kids to follow the normal pattern of 60 to 80% of kids dropping out of church in their college years. We don't want that. We want our kids serving the Lord. If you're a student in our church, at Church Acadiana, our desire is for you to keep serving the Lord all the way through high school, all the way through college. When you start having kids, while you're a young parent, and even leading your next generation, your kids, to serve the Lord and to seek the Lord. How can we avoid backsliding? Jesus addresses this in the parable of the farmer scattering seed in Mark 4, 1 through 20. This is also called the parable of the four soils. Jesus says that, he tells a story. Remember, a parable is simply a spiritual story or a heavenly story portraying, I'm sorry, an earthly story portraying heavenly realities. It's an earthly story portraying heavenly realities. A parable uses something familiar, like farming, to teach us something mysterious and unfamiliar about the spiritual life. Jesus said one day a farmer went out to scatter some seed, to plant. And he's throwing seed all over the field, and the seed falls on four different types of soil. Some seed falls on the footpath. Some falls on the shallow soil with underlying rock. Some seed fell among thorns, and some seeds fell among the fertile soil. Now, the seeds that fell along the footpath is where people walk, and so the ground is hard and compact, and the seeds aren't able to penetrate and to put down roots, and the birds come and quickly eat up those seeds, so they don't produce any fruit. They don't grow. The second type of seed, or soil, is the shallow soil with underlying rock. When the seed falls on this shallow soil with underlying rock, the seed sprouts and the plant grows quickly, but because it's not able to put down deep, deep roots because of the underlying rock, the sun eventually zaps all of the water out of the plant and causes the plant to wither and die. And so it doesn't grow and produce fruit. The third type of soil is the thorny soil. Some of the feet fell among thorns, and what thorns do is they crowd out all that a plant needs for life. Thorns, they take up the space, they steal sunlight, they steal nutrients, they steal water, they just crowd out the life of a plant. And then finally, some seed fell among the fertile soil. Jesus said in verse 8, still other seeds fell in fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So what's the point of all this? Well, Jesus, in the parable of the four soils, he's saying that the size of the harvest depends on the condition of the soil. The only thing that changes in these four different types of soil is the soil. The seed stays the same. The farmer stays the same. The only thing that changes is the condition of the soil. The size of the harvest depends on the condition of the soil. Well, what does all this mean for the spiritual life? Well, the farmer represents somebody who's planting God's word, like a preacher, a Bible teacher, a parent discipling their kids at home. The seed refers to God's word. The soil represents the condition of your heart. And the harvest represents the good things that God wants to do in your life. So the big idea here is that Jesus wants to produce a harvest of good in your life, a harvest of righteousness in your life. But the size of the harvest depends on the condition of your heart. The size of the harvest depends on your attitude toward God, your Godward orientation. In other words, God wants you, Jesus wants you to stick with the faith, to stay involved in church, to stay living the faithful Christian life, obedient Christian life, year after year. Jesus wants you to be a faithful husband year after year, a faithful wife year after year. But the size of the harvest depends on the condition of your heart. For that to happen, for Jesus to enable you to stay faithful, to stick with it, to stand firm year after year, that depends on the condition of your heart. Your heart has to be right. Your attitude toward God has to be right. So how can I make sure that my heart condition is right? Well, Jesus, he explains the parable in the next few verses. And eventually what he says is that to avoid backsliding, you must be receptive to God's word, ready for adversity, and resolve to keep Jesus at the center of your life. In order to avoid backsliding, if you want Jesus to produce a good harvest in your life, you've got to do three things. You've got to be receptive to God's word. That means you need to believe and study and obey the Bible. Second, you need to be ready for adversity. You need to have a biblical understanding of adversity, of trouble, of persecution, of hard times, of pain and suffering. You need to be ready for adversity. And number three, today we're going to talk about how you need to be resolved to keep Jesus at the center of your life. You need to be resolved to keep Jesus at the center of your life. Verses 18 through 19. Jesus says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by three things: by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. Again, this is the third type of soil that Jesus mentions, the thorny soil. A plant cannot thrive among thorns because the thorns steal the nutrients and the water and the sunlight and the space. Because of the thorns, there's simply no room for growth. The reason that some people backslide is that they have allowed thorns in their life. They've invited thorns in their life, and the thorns eventually crowd out God. Eventually, there's no room left for God. And Jesus tells us three of the most common thorns that crowd out God. He says, number one, the first thorn is the worries of this life. The worries of this life, or the cares of this world, this simply means hyper-busyness. This is not talking about being somebody who worries or somebody who's anxious. It's a different sermon for a different day. This simply means hyper-busyness, being too busy for God. It's whenever you fill your plate with too much, with too many things. And so you begin to crowd out God. Not with necessarily bad things, it's just you keep getting busier and busier and busier until you don't have time left over for God. That's the first thorn. The second thorn is the lure of wealth. This is whenever you love money more than God. Now, nobody would admit to that. Nobody, that's very hard to detect in yourself. But we all lean this way naturally. We need the Holy Spirit within us to sanctify us, to protect us, to guide us, to grow us, to guard us, because we all lean toward the love of money. And whenever you love money more than God, that's a thorn that pushes God out of your life. This is whenever you want material wealth more than spiritual health. You desire material wealth more than spiritual health. You want earthly riches more than heavenly rewards. You don't have time for church. You don't have time for God because you're so busy trying to earn more money. You're even willing to be sinful and disobedient and maybe even shady and unethical to make more money, to hold on to more money. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. You can't do both. And what happens is whenever you love money too much, you begin to serve it. When you love money more than God, you begin to serve money. And when that happens, you can't serve God. You stop serving God. You don't necessarily stop believing. You don't even necessarily stop having affection for God. It's just you've stopped serving Him. You've allowed this thorn, the lure of wealth, into your life, and it has crowded God out. You begin to backslide. The third thorn that Jesus mentions is the desire for other things. And that's just kind of a vague way, I think, of saying that whenever your top goals in life aren't spiritual goals, when your top goals in life aren't God's goals for you. We all have goals in life. Very few of us actually write them down, but we all have goals, whether you know it or not. You have goals in life. And whenever your top goals in life aren't the goals that God has for you, when they're not spiritual goals, when they don't involve spiritual health, staying close to God, serving God, making an impact for God, when these aren't your top goals, then your top goals end up crowding God out. They push God out, just like a thorn leaves no room for growth. So maybe your top goal is to be famous or to be the best in your line of work, to be honored, to be recognized. Maybe your top goal is to travel or to retire as early as possible or to build a house. Or maybe your top goal in life is to get married and have a family. Maybe your top goal in life is just to have fun. So soak up as much fun in life as you can before you die. If your top goals in life are not God's goals, even if they're not sinful, those top goals in your life are going to crowd God out, and eventually you're going to fall away. You're going to backslide. You're going to revert to a worse condition. So what's the solution? What's the solution to the thorns? The solution is to be resolved to keep Jesus at the center of your life. You've got to make a conscious daily decision that I'm going to keep Jesus front and center in my life. He's going to be the main thing. I've got to keep the main thing the main thing. As you keep Jesus at the center, He will keep the thorns out. As you keep Jesus at the center, He will keep the thorns out. Your job is not to clean the thorns out of your life or to keep the thorns out. That's not your job. Your job is to keep Jesus at the center of your life, the main thing, the main thing. And then He keeps the thorns out. So next question is, how do I keep Jesus at the center of my life? Well, this is simple. Not easy, but it's simple. This goes back to the classic, timeless spiritual disciplines that Christians have been practicing since the very first century AD, since Christianity first kicked off in the book of Acts. These spiritual disciplines, these growth habits, the only way to keep from backsliding and to keep Jesus at the center of your life is by practicing spiritual disciplines or by practicing growth habits. We talk about them all the time at Church Acadiana. The most common, The most essential, the most basic five are Sunday worship, home group, a daily quiet time, serving at church, and tithing. Those five spiritual disciplines are so important. What they do is they help you keep Jesus at the center of your life. Don't be confused. Spiritual disciplines don't make you a good person. Just because you go to church, that doesn't mean you're a good person. There's a lot of bad people that go to church. Spiritual disciplines, like going to church on Sunday, that doesn't make you a nice person. There's a lot of really mean people that go to church. Reading your Bible and have a daily quiet time, that doesn't mean you're a good person. That doesn't mean you're a good Christian. You can have a quiet time 6 days a week, and your neighbor can have a quiet time 4 days a week. That doesn't automatically mean that you're a better Christian than him. It doesn't work that way. Spiritual disciplines don't make you a good person. Spiritual disciplines help you keep Jesus at the center of your life. And then Jesus makes you a good person. Spiritual disciplines don't make you a good person. Jesus makes you a good person. But how does Jesus make you a good person? As you keep him at the center of your life by practicing spiritual disciplines, he's able to produce a harvest of good in your life. He's able to keep the thorns out of your life. He's able to keep you from backsliding. When you decide that you don't have time for spiritual disciplines, that's the beginning of the end for you. That's when you will begin to backslide. I don't believe you can lose your salvation as a Christian. I believe once saved, always saved. But I do believe you can backslide. Just about everybody I know has backslidden, has reverted to a worse condition, spiritually or morally, at one point or another. And as soon as you decide that you don't have time for spiritual disciplines, that's when backsliding begins. A lot of research has been done to prove the importance of these spiritual disciplines. It may seem like a lot to go to church on Sundays and to be involved in home group. There's been a lot of research that points to the importance, the effectiveness of these classic disciplines. Rodney Stark is a sociologist of religion at Baylor University. And he did a study on how the frequency of church attendance affects our actions. He found that the more frequent your church attendance, the less likely you are to get a divorce, the less likely you are to have an extramarital affair. The stronger your relationships with your children will be, the better quality your mental health will be. The more likely you are to volunteer, the more likely you are to give to the church and to other charities, the more frequent your church attendance, the more involved you will actually even be in politics. Going to church on Sundays just makes a big difference in your life. It just does. In fact, as you're talking to your kids and as you're explaining, why do I have to go to church on Sunday? Why do we have to go to church every Sunday, every Sunday? It's because going to church helps us keep Jesus at the center of our lives. And then Jesus is able to produce a harvest of good in our lives. There's another study. It was done recently by Lifeway Research. And Lifeway found that if you're involved in a home group or a small group in your church, that you're 31% more likely to try putting your spiritual gifts to use, serving God and serving others. That if you're involved in a home group, you'll feel closer to God, you'll trust God more, you'll have a better understanding of the Bible, and you'll be more loving in your relationships just by being involved in a home group. And so these disciplines, and I could go on and talk about all five of those spiritual disciplines. They just work. They're essential to spiritual health. Now, let's review. To prevent backsliding, you need to be resolved to keep Jesus at the center of your life. There's no other way to do it. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. How do you keep Jesus at the center of your life? Because as you keep Jesus at the center of your life, he will keep the thorns out. How do you keep Jesus at the center? By practicing those timeless spiritual disciplines. Now, what does this mean for parents? If you're a parent and you're listening to this, parents, teach your kids the spiritual disciplines as young as possible and make them do them. Make them practice the spiritual disciplines. Get them to church on Sundays. Teach them. This is what we do as Christians on Sundays. We go to church. We don't schedule other things on Sundays. We schedule our lives around Sundays. We go to church on Sundays. When you go to home group, bring them with you. Let them sit right next to you. This is one of the benefits of being a family integrated church. When you go to home group, you bring your kid with you, and your kid sits with you and watches you and learns from you. When you go to church on Sundays, you bring your kid with you, and they sit with you, and they watch you, and they learn from you. Teach them to have a daily quiet time, and make them do it. Our kids are homeschooled, and so during the middle of the day, right after lunch, our kids are on a timer. They're on a schedule Monday through Friday. They sit down. They have a daily quiet time for 30 minutes. I mean, they're actually on a timer. We put the timer on the oven, and it beeps after 30 minutes. I mean, they're on a timer. They have to read the Bible and pray and journal. We're teaching them how to have a daily quiet time. We want that to be a real habit in their life for the rest of their life. Teach them to volunteer. When you volunteer at church, bring your kids with you. One of the things that they teach pastors in training is never do ministry alone. Never do ministry alone. In other words, always have somebody in the church that you're trying to train, that you're trying to develop. Always have somebody with you, teaching them so they can learn from you. Always be training. Well, parents, as you're discipling your kids, the same thing goes for you. Never do ministry alone. If you're volunteering at church, have your kids with you. Let them volunteer with you. Let them serve with you. You know, one of the way, the primary way that we teach something to somebody, we teach them, we explain it to them, and then we show them how it's done. We let them watch us. Then we let them do it with us. Then we let them do it without us, and we watch and provide feedback. That's exactly how we teach our kids the spiritual disciplines. We explain them to them. Then we let them see us do it. That's what we do at Family Integrated Church. Our kids get to come to church with us. They get to volunteer with us. They get to go to home group with us. They get to watch us. So we explain it to them. Then we show them. We let them watch us. Then we let them do it with us. And then we watch them do it, and we provide feedback. That's how you teach something to somebody. Teach them to tithe. When they get money, when they earn some money, teach your kids. Take the very first 10% and it goes to God. Bring it to church, put it in the offering envelope, write your name, write the amount. Teach them to tithe as early as possible. Because the spiritual disciplines help us keep Jesus at the center of our lives. And then Jesus is able to produce that harvest of good. He's able to keep the thorns out. So what's the next step for you? I really hope and pray that you will decide to make the spiritual disciplines a part of your lifestyle. That you'll go ahead and decide, for me and my family, we are going to make the spiritual disciplines a priority. If you want Jesus to be the main thing, then the spiritual disciplines have to be the main thing, because the spiritual disciplines are what God uses to keep the thorns out of your life, to keep Jesus out of, in the center of your life. So I really hope and pray that church would be Sunday church would be the habit of your life, not the exception. That you would develop the habit of a daily quiet time. That you would be reading through the Bible with us every year at Church Acadiana. That you would make a small group, a home group. That would be a habit for you. That you would make tithing a habit for you. That you would make volunteering in church a habit, a lifestyle for you. So that Jesus can work through those things to grow you and to keep you healthy and to keep the thorns out of your life. If you haven't done that, if all those five spiritual disciplines aren't at the center of your life, if they're not habits, then I ask you to spend some time praying and thinking about how you can rearrange your life around the spiritual disciplines. If you want to avoid backsliding, you've got to be resolved to keep Jesus at the center of your life. Keep Jesus at the center. He will keep the thorns out. Father God, I thank you for this time that I've gotten to share with folks who are listening right now. I pray that you would use this message to stir something in their hearts, to make them prioritize you more, to make them encouraged in their faith and more passionate about you. Father, I pray that everybody in our church, at Church Acadiana, would become passionate, committed to the spiritual disciplines, because we want you to be at the center of our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'll help people rearrange their schedules as they need to, so that you'll be first in their lives so that they can keep the main thing the main thing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening, and God bless you.